The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. It takes a certain kind of brave to run a business. We see it, we back it.
Well, our next guests are two unlikely friends, I'd say. They come from two of Ireland's biggest brewing families that were in competition for generations, the Smithick and the Guinness families, the Smithicks and the Guinnesses. But Paul Smithick and Lord Ned Ivy have joined forces to oversee the reopening of the Ivy Markets, a Dublin landmark. The first phase is due next month. And I'm joined in studio by Paul, and Ned Ivy joins us from his home in Suffolk. You're both very welcome to the programme. Paul, first to you, yourself and Ned have been friends for a very long time. He's Lord Ivy. Do you call him Lord Ivy, or what do you call him?
I would think the answer to that is that from the humble background where I come from, an ordinary Kilkenny person, we don't know anything about titles and we don't recognise them. But that said, Ned once brought me to the House of Lords in England, and I never was at a show that I enjoyed more. It was akin to Spike Milligan and the Goon Show. But if Ned would like me to call him Lord, good morning, my Lord.
Well, Ned, what do you make of that? Is there enough deference there from Paul over the years, no?
Richard, as you have just heard, there has been over the last couple of decades vast amounts of stick being pushed in my direction in terms of to take the mickey. And I'm afraid to say it's a long-going saga, shall we say, but it's all in good humour.
And Paul, your friendship with Ned goes back a long way. When did you first meet?
The actual friendship with Ned goes back to, I think, and Ned would correct me, 1999. I met Ned for the first time up in Tyrone in the north of Ireland. I'd been dying to meet him. And obviously when I met him, we started talking. And I had driven my car up. Ned got a lift up, because he doesn't like putting petrol into his car. I think it's too expensive. So in any event, on the Sunday, I drove Ned back down to Arblin, and it was an extraordinary journey because it lasted 5 hours, which is normally from Tyrone about 2 hours and 40 minutes. And I knew two things, that I went wrong, we're talking so much, into Jonesboro by mistake, missing Auchnacloy. Bad mistake, because that's a very dangerous area. We got the hell out of it very fast. And then we were going to Newry, and I landed up in Fork Hill, which was even worse. I had experience in law of being there. And anyway, it was only the night before last. I said, Ned, how the hell did the journey take us 2 hours, 5 hours? So, Ned, you might say why.
Ned, do you recall, are you there? Ned?
But what I... Well, what I would say was that Paul had taken me to his church, which I celebrated, and indeed, and also that I had a joy when Paul was based in Dublin previously, that I witnessed his remarkable behind the scenes putting people together for the Northern Irish peace process. And so I have to celebrate that, and I'm delighted to do so, because Paul would never admit to any positivity in that department. But anyway, we met in Northern Ireland.
Just hold it there one moment, because it was when you told me that I brought you to Mass, I'd actually forgotten that, but it was not for spiritual reasons. I wanted to bring you as a Protestant member of the representative church body to my church to see what money you might take out of your pocket to put on the plate in the church.
Right,
that was the reason.
You had an ulterior motive. And Ned, tell me, obviously growing up as part of the Guinness family and as Lord Ivy, you would have grown up in the Phoenix Park, largely in Farm Lee, which is now in the possession of the state.
Right. That's right, Richard. You know, it was a joyous childhood. We had a beautiful small farm, and indeed a fantastic Charolais herd, which my dad and Sean Fitzgerald, who busy through the period of the 70s and the 80s and onwards. You know, we showed the cattle in the RDS and Tullamore latterly, and so I had a wonderful time. It's a stone's throw from the from the city of Dublin, and my dad was working in the brewery until he died far too young in his life. So it was a mixture of the north side, Castleknock, and, you know, St. James's Gate, dropping in to see him.
And would you have gone, yeah, would a, you have gone across, wonderful time. Would you have gone across to the brewery regularly when you were a child growing up? Hello, Ned. I think we might have lost you there, Ned. We'll see if we can get him back. Paul, we're talking about Farm Lee. You would have had a connection with Farm Lee because you went to school very close to Farm Lee in Castleknock.
Absolutely. I spent about 5 years at the neighbouring wonderful Castleknock College. And Farm Lee was bang next door. And then Knock Maroon, which is owned by Ned's uncle, Lord Moyne. So I perfected the art with another two of my friends at Castleknock, a guy called Moose Walsh from Carrickonshire and Phil Purcell from Tipperary, two Tipperary people that I wouldn't normally mix with Tipperary people. And I perfected the art of getting in over the walls, scaling the walls at Farmley, where they had a wonderful garden, wonderful greenhouses, and we'd always pick our times carefully. I got the information when Lord Ivor's father wasn't there. They had security at the front gate, but they had no security when the gardeners had gone. So we perfected the art, getting over the wall into the greenhouses. And one weekend, just the year before Benjamin Ivor, the year that they got married, we scaled to the wall at a designated time. They were having an afternoon tea party, himself and his wife Miranda, and there were about four or five tables laid out in that part of the garden. We saw the staff going into the kitchens under the archway, and we saw four tea time expresses cakes delivered to the serving table. We were in like a shot. We're not alone to use it. The greenhouses of passion fruits, four tea time expresses. I eventually told his mother that a number of years ago when she said you were a most welcome guest, but I'm sorry that we didn't know you then.
Well, Ned, there's no sign of him giving the fruit back or anything that he would have nicked when climbing over the wall. But the Guinness family, just let me get this straight now. The original Arthur Guinness was your what? Great what?
Five greats back. So great grandfather. That's right.
And of course, the history of the brewing, which started with him, with £100, he went from Leixlip to Dublin and set up the brewery. What do you think was the key to his success?
You know, he focused on quality. It was difficult to make beer because of, obviously, it was relatively primitive what we had available in terms of the ingredients, but the technological manner by which beer is brewed now, you know, so it was quality and consistency and being absolutely assured to his customers. And he won over the pubs one by one in the locality of St James's Gate. There were 300 breweries when he were in Dublin itself alone, as a much smaller city, when he came to Dublin, and he won them over because they were all brewing their own beer to serve to their own customers. And he encouraged them to focus on their front of house while he produced the beer for their cellar.
And at the time, beer consumption would have been quite high because people didn't trust the quality of the water. People talk about having a beer to quench your thirst. It was literally that.
Absolutely. It was a very safe drink, and there were people who were going probably crazy with spirits, and there were people who were drinking foul water that was, you know, we didn't have the cleanliness of the water supply as we do now. So absolutely, beer, having gone through the process it goes through, and it's a mild intoxicant, under normal circumstances, it was the safe option and the healthy option.
And of course, Paul, Arthur Guinness set up in the 1750s, but Smithwick's, your family, were brewing in Kilkenny from 1710, was it?
That's right, yeah, yes.
What, was there much competitive rivalry between the families over
enormous,
those years?
Enormous. More particularly in the time of my late father, who's the last owner, managing director, chairman, Dad was driven, and his real drive was to make sure that the Guinness, all of their beers went down, and Dad fought them hugely. So the competition was huge. I mean, all of the Guinness products were as banned in our house as it was in Kilkenny. Dad assembled a wonderful team during the war years, primarily Kilkenny hurlers, who he reckoned were the best salespersons. And all around Ireland, he got hurlers from the GAA and footballers. And even down to Noel Skeehan, the great Kilkenny hurler, who's a very old friend of mine, a great pensioner, now in all Ireland, who doesn't drink. But Noel was the brand ambassador, but it was the GAA that drove them. And their objective, driven by my father, who didn't like being managing director or chairman, he was a salesman, their objective around the country, John Lyons in Cork, Padge Coe, the famous hurler at Wexford, boys, go out and get the Guinness products, Phoenix, the Harp Lager, Double Diamond, get the publics to put them down under the counter. And he drove them. So huge competition. And then so much so that they became a fly in the ointment of the Guinness Company. And I was at Castleknock College the day that Dad was going to our sports day, proud of his two little boys, well, he had nothing to be proud of, when Dad told me that there had been an approach, confidentially, Paul, there had been an approach from Lord Iver and Alan Lennox Boyd, Lord Boyd of Merton, the great managing director.
And that led to the buyout.
Led to a buyout. And when my brother Peter heard that Dad had told me, Peter was a lawyer and involved in the takeover, he went absolutely pear-shaped, because part of the brewery was on the stock exchange, the majority owned by my father, my mother, and Peter. I never saw a man go whiter, because if I'd leaked the information, I bought shares, but I didn't have the money to buy them.
Right, so you didn't have the chance to do the wrong thing there. Yeah. And Ned, obviously, your own family, for so many generations, were directly involved in running the business. And it's a bigger conglomerate, Diageo, now. What about your relationship with the business today?
Well, I know many people in the existing business, and there are many very, very good people in the existing business. And it is a lovely thing to be able to partnership in lots of different ways, you know, but obviously I have no role, and I'm busy growing potatoes here in the Norfolk Suffolk border, so that keeps me busy enough. So I'm always the time short, but it's a proud association. It's got lovely things arising from it, and that's the point.
And
it's,
of course,
what
you're
done
very
to help people through the ages.
And of course, you're very busy with this Ivy Markets project. Just fill us in a little bit on the background. The Ivy Markets were built by the family because they wanted the local traders to have a place where they could ply their wares and sell their goods indoors.
You're absolutely right. Great-great-grandfather, Edward Cecil Guinness, Ned Guinness, he founded the Ivy Trust, and he reshaped St. Patrick's Park, and obviously, like various entities, organised the restoration of St. Patrick's Cathedral. So all around that part of Dublin, and basically we were living on St. Stephen's Green and heading to the brewery from the townhouse of the day, which is now the Department of Foreign Affairs. There was the worst abject poverty and slums in what was then the British Empire. And great-great-grandfather had been brought up. He was tutored in St. Stephen's Green privately. And when he had floated the Guinness beer company on the stock exchange, he had money in his, you might say, liquid assets of a cash nature rather than a beer nature in his pocket. And he put that funding to good works. So the Ivy Markets was very important, that the street traders and the community of the Coombe and the Liberties were given a place which was safe and which was sound. They could cleanse their clothes. They could buy fruit and vegetables and it was a community hub.
And what about your plans for the Ivy Market? I know that there has been a long and protracted history of it in relation to Dublin City Council. We also had the businessman Martin Keane, who had the license to run it, and there are still outstanding cases and mediation going on there. But as things stand, what are you hoping or planning to do with it?
Well, he great-great-grandfather gave his dad, Benjamin Lee Guinness, was the Lord Mayor of Dublin in the mid-19th century, and Edward Cecil gave it to the people of Dublin and the Lord Mayor, I think, and it ran as a marketplace as it did when I remember it when I was a child growing up, And it carried on in the tradition that it was designed and purposed for. Paul worked me up from the potato furrow, and so and the rest is going forward. But it's the wonderful rejuvenation of a place in a prime part of Dublin, and I very much enjoyed your housing a discussion earlier in the such an important subject. But people need spaces that are right for the people, and you know, it's just to get back what is a beautiful, beautiful structure. It's gorgeous. And if it doesn't get looked after, like all beautiful structures, it will fall down and it will serve no purpose. And so to get it back, and there's a wonderful array of local food producers coming through, the Sambo Ambo man nonetheless, and resuscitator from pandemic, and others are coming in, and they are rejuvenating the markets.
Okay, and I suppose a final question I want to ask both of you, given your brewing and family traditions, two very well known brands in Ireland, Smithwick and Guinness. Which is the best, Paul, Smithwick or Guinness? Which tastes the best for you?
I think I wouldn't have any doubt about that, but I wouldn't like to be biased. But I think the what is brewed in Kilkenny, the products, and then the Sullivan products, which are an older company, which you'll be hearing a lot about. They will be doing a visitor centre and so on and so forth. So we'll be taking over that mantle as the only brewing company there.
You're more of a Sullivan's man now. And Ned, what about you? Do you drink Smithwick's?
Well, just as it's vital that Kilkenny continues to celebrate the craft of traditional brewing, which Sullivan's does in Kilkenny and continues to do so, I'd love to find a Dublin brewer somewhere who would be brewing a beer. Mm. I have to say, in the historical tradition, I would reply, of course, the black is best. But I have my own ale here in Eldon.
You all have a new string to the bow there. Listen, I'm conscious of time. I'm going to have to wrap it up, but it's been a pleasure. Paul Smithwick and Lord Ned Ivy, thank you very much. Very quickly, briefly.
Just a very, very posh word. Ned, as you know, the last couple of months I've spent all my time up in the in that area, incarcerated in St. James's Hospital and outpatients for 2 months nearly. But the enthusiasm of the people that we found for something happening, rejuvenating the whole thing, okay. For the Mauryan Empire, everything wonderful.
Okay, Paul Smithwick, thank you very much.